Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, come on. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And let there be light. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings right here on Giants.com. But I'm joined by Jeff Beagles. I am John Schmelk, 201-939-4513. Your calls and Giants talk for 60 minutes right here on Giants.com. It is rivalry week here in New York, Jeff. We had the Knicks and Nets going at it tonight. The Rangers and Islanders played a couple days ago. And it's the Giants and Jets coming your way on Sunday. And what you like about this game, and, you know, these teams don't play very often. It's not a true rivalry like the Yankees and Red Sox and like the Mets and Braves back in the day.
Yeah.
But this game is extremely important for both teams in their quest to get into the postseason in their respective conferences.
And I think that both teams are kind of playing the card where, you can call this a rivalry all you want. Who cares about that? Because each one of these teams knows they have to go in and win this game. Fortunately, one of them is not going to win the game, no matter how hard they both try. And so we'll see what happens, John. But, you know, in a lot of times these rivalries, like you said, they play each other every 4 years. There's guys on the team, the Giants and the Jets have never even, you know, played against each other. So it's all irrelevant to me. I know that we had a chance to play them before. It's all talk before. But really, when you get down to it, the nuts and bolts, it's another game. These guys have to win. Both of these teams are scratching and clawing to get into the playoffs, which is all what it's all about these next five games.
No question about it, and it's an interesting game as these two teams are very, very different. The Jets built around their defense. The Giants obviously built around their offense, and we could talk about the numbers all day long, but there's a couple things I want to touch on off the top before we get to our calls as we break this game down. First things first, the Jets' defense is really all about the way they stop the run and putting opposing teams into bad second and long and third and long situations where they blitz. And the Jets have the highest blitz percentage in the NFL. You look at their number of sacks, it doesn't jump off the page. They're just 16th in the league in sacks, but they do get a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. And they knock the quarterback down. They hurry him. They disrupt things. So even though the sack numbers might not be there, this pass rush does a good job of getting teams off schedule and getting quarterbacks off kilter.
And a couple reasons. And the other thing too is they use that safety in the box a lot, which helps them get pressure. The other thing is that typically we know that Revis is not going to play in this game. They got good cornerbacks, so whenever you're able to have good corners, I'm not going to say shutdown corners here, but good corners, able to mix up the packages. Their defensive line. You're right. I don't think the sack numbers are what they should be with all of the kudos that this defensive line gets. But let's not forget, folks, this team gets after it, like you said, and they're a very physical and big group. And so when you talk about what the Giants have had their problems with lately, with injuries at that offensive line, and even if Richburg and Pugh are back in the lineup, they have missed some time. So you got some chemistry issues there again. But, you know, you look at the way that they played all season, they've done a pretty good job of protecting Eli, so they're going to have to go out and do it this week for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. And we'll have a better idea of what the Giants' offensive line will look like on Sunday when we get through Tom Coughlin's press conference at 2 o'clock. You could, of course, check that out on Giants.com. We'll also tweet out all the relevant information before the video gets put up after he finishes. It looks like Pugh's going to be able to go, assuming he doesn't have another relapse of the concussion symptoms. Now, that did happen a couple weeks ago.
I know, on this day, really.
And remember, game day morning, he woke up and then he was feeling bad. So you never want to say he's definitely playing, but it looks good for Justin Pugh. Richburg has ramped up his work during the week. I feel good about him going. We'll see how much he can go with that ankle injury. And, you know, ankles are tough for offensive linemen. You get rolled, you have to pivot a lot, things happen. Then you have Marshall Newhouse, who, to me, is, as of now, the least likely to play simply because he hasn't practiced yet this week.
Right.
And a back injury can be really funky for an offensive lineman. If you get Richburg and Pugh inside, or rather playing in the game, how do you think the Giants are going to configure their offensive line in terms of right tackle? Do you think they'll move Pugh back out there? Do you think they're going to let Bobby Hart play guard? Or do you think they're going to put Bobby Hart at a right tackle? I don't think there's an easy tailor-made solution if Newhouse can't go.
There's not, because of all the scenarios that you just mentioned, there's nothing easy about that. And even at the end one.
Because ideally, Newhouse's backup at right tackle was Jeff Schwartz. But he's out for the year now.
Remove him, who now comes in?
Exactly.
And so, Yeah, I think there's as a fan and some people that talk about the Giants a lot, we would be a little bit scared, if you will, of having Bobby Hart, a rookie, out there at right tackle. But in my mind, I don't know what else you could do. You can't disrupt by moving a bunch of different things unless you just do one. You know, you can get John Jerry to play right guard, which he certainly can. You keep the left side okay, and you just make one move. I think that's what you got to do.
I mean, Jeff, you know, you say you don't want two rookie left tackles, but two rookie tackles out there. But do you also want to theoretically move Pugh to the right tackle, and then you have two rookies playing on the left side of the offensive line, having to communicate and make those types of protection?
And I know that Flowers is a rookie, but Flowers has played 11 games in this league so far. So if it was the first game of the season against the Dallas Cowboys, and we had two rookie right and left tackles, I think it would make a huge difference. But I will tell you this, that, you know, they didn't draft Bobby Hart to play right away, but he's going to have to. And I'll tell you, a lot of guys were impressed with him during the preseason. They were impressed with when they went to scrimmage the Bengals. He got a lot of work up there. I actually saw him because I was able to go and watch a little of that practice. I was very impressed. In fact, I think you and I were both watching the offense and defensive line one-on-one drills.
And Bobby Hart stood up.
He really did a nice job. So to answer your question, I think that, yes, they would be confident in having him at right tackle if Newhouse can't go.
Now, if you take a look at this game, I think it's interesting. If you look at the rankings of these
it's
two
unbelievable.
Teams. Unbelievable. You know, and you wouldn't think this, but offensively, overall, they're actually pretty close. They're
offensively,
back-to-back, 14th and 15th in offense. The Jets 14th, actually more yards per game than the Giants. Scoring, the Jets are 7th in the league, the Giants are 5th. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't think offensively a lot separate. You would think a lot more separates these teams than what the numbers tell you. And yards, they're both very, very close. Now, the Jets do it a little bit differently. They run the ball more than the Giants pass the ball, so that's a big difference. But it's the disparity on defense that I want to look at right now. The Jets are 3rd overall, 1st against the run, 9th in scoring. The Giants obviously towards the bottom of the league in a lot of those categories, Jeff. And to me, if this is played as a clean football game where each team gets a possession and they punt the football and you go up and down the field and that's how the game is played, I think the advantage probably goes to the Jets simply because of their advantage on defense. However, to me, the difference in this game could very well be the fact that the Giants, in my opinion at least, had the two best players on the field on Sunday, Eli Manning and Odell Beckham Jr., with Brandon Marshall, by the way, not that far away from that top two. He's very good. But those two guys, to me, are going to have to be the difference makers in this game, especially, as you mentioned, with Darrelle Revis not playing, if the Giants want to overcome some of that disparity on the defensive side of the ball.
I think that Eli has to go out and play one of those games where the Giants fans need – they say, hey, yeah, give us one of those classic Eli games that doesn't make mistakes, because – part of it, and we didn't get to the turnovers. This team
that was next,
but it's part of the question here. So this team, both teams, rely on the turnovers.
The Jets 8th in the league +4, Giants 3rd in the league +10.
And when those teams get turnovers, they turn into wins. So that's a very similar. So but I think you're right. I believe that the Giants have the two best players on the field. I think that both these teams in the defensive secondary are not – both teams are going to be able to throw the football. My opinion is this. I believe that because the Jets are more balanced than the Giants, that they have the edge over this game. And that's just my opinion. I think that the Jets, if they get into a lead, they have the ability to use the clock because of their running game, where the Giants, we know, are very difficult. So,
but in the same way, and I mentioned Eli and Beckham, this is the other thing to me that can swap this game. Both teams take the ball away well. You mentioned that. The Giants 9th in takeaways, the Jets 3rd. They take the ball away extremely well. Now, the bigger disparity comes on offense and defense for the Jets and Giants. The Jets offensively have the 17th in the league in terms of turning the ball over. So they're in the bottom half of the league, while the Giants are second best in taking the ball
away.
And I think the Giants are going to have to force some turnovers in this game and do what they couldn't do to Kirk Cousins last week.
Do it
and
to Fitzgerald.
Force Ryan Fitzpatrick to make some mistakes. And he did it for about 3 straight games.
Right.
He had 5 picks in 3 games, then last week he cleaned it up when the Jets got that big win.
And he's done it all his career.
Exactly. He's been turnover prone. I can bring up his career stats here. I mean, he has a lot of issues with protecting the football. In weeks 10 and 11, he had 4 interceptions to only 3 touchdowns. Last week, he had 4 touchdowns and no interceptions. So Fitzpatrick is a guy where you can turn him over if you pressure him and your secondary makes some plays.
And caution to the wind with him is he's a very, very smart quarterback. So
Harvard man.
Harvard.
But he doesn't look like a Harvard man. He looks, but it's fine.
He looks like he's homeless at times with that beard.
You know what? He actually shaved it, though, last
I know.
Year.
And
that, right?
Well, he threw 4 touchdowns. So maybe trim. He has to shave it even more for them to win this game. I don't know. But he's a very smart guy. So I think that Spagnuolo and his defense is going to have to put the defense in situations where it's going to make him make some decisions, and maybe they're bad decisions. I think you hit the nail on the head as far as, you know, this is kind of what you do when you break down games. You try to find where a team can have an advantage and maybe get that's how they can win. And certainly the Giants, they don't turn the ball over all that much, and the Giants defense does get turnovers. So, I just don't believe in the Giants. The Jets and the way their quarterbacks play, just, you know, especially him. I still think that he's up and down. You know, I don't see
absolutely.
You know, so you go, he throws 4 touchdowns last week. For him to come back and do that again this week would be remarkable.
And I think it speaks to a larger point. I think you make a good point, Jeff, in that this Jets team has been very up and down. You know, you look at their overall numbers, you're like, hold on a second. They're a top 10 offensive team. They're a top 3 defensive team. They should be, you know, 7-2 or 9-4, whatever. But if you take a look at their schedule and in some of the games they've played this year, I mean, they've had some really, really bad performances. I mean, they lost to T.J. Yates.
Oh, yeah, that was a tough one.
They lost to T.J. Yates.
The Raider
That's as bad of a loss as anything the Giants have gone through this year. I mean, T.J. Yates, I know the Texans are hot, but it's still T.J. Yates.
And he had just been on the team for 3 weeks prior to that.
They nearly lost the Jaguars at home. Now, the Jaguars are playing some better football this year, but you have the Jaguars at home. You would expect to win that game. They lose to the Bills at home 22-17 on Thursday night, when traditionally the home team has a big advantage in games like that. They lost to the Raiders 34-20. They've had some really, really rough games, so... You know, we talked about the Redskins last week being a Jekyll and Hyde team, home and road.
We got them again.
Well, the Jets have been very up and down this year, too. Which Jets team is going to show up? And it goes offensively and defensively here. We talked about the offense, you know, over the course of the year, and it switched around. But the Jets' defense struggled a lot during that losing streak as well. They gave up some big plays with no Darrelle Revis. How do you think, Jeff, they're going to try to handle Odell Beckham Jr. in this game? I think if Revis was there, they'd say, all right, take care of him.
Sure.
And frankly, that might have been to the Giants' advantage because I think at this
he's
point,
not
Beckham's
as good as he used to be.
He's still very good, mind you. I think 4th best quarterback rating against in terms of cornerbacks. But I think Beckham one-on-one against anyone, he's going to get some plays.
No question.
Bottom line, how do you think now the Jets are going to handle this? Antonio Cromartie has struggled this year.
Yep.
He's had some issues. I don't see them just putting him out on an island on Odell Beckham. That would be a death sentence if you ask me. Do you think they're going to put a guy over the top? Are they going to give him extra attention? How do you think the Jets are going to handle Odell Beckham in this game?
Well, let's answer that question with who's available.
I mean,
Darrelle Revis is certainly going to be out of the game. Marcus Williams is beat up.
He's banged up.
So I think
Buster Skrin is probably their best cover corner that's healthy right now, to be quite honest with you.
Okay, but are you going to put him against Odell Beckham? You're going to see Antonio Cromartie. He's going to be the guy.
But they better give him help, though.
They will definitely give him help. However, you understand that if you cover football long enough to know that you can't double-team a player every single play. It just doesn't work. So,
well, especially if they want to bring that safety into the box, like you mentioned.
Right. And I think that this is, to me, where there could be some big plays in this game offensively from Beckham and Odell. What have the Giants done recently in the last 3 or 4 weeks that we didn't see all of the beginning of the season? Remember the first part of the season? All they did was it was everything underneath and out. Now we're beginning to see the long ball again.
They really tried to get the ball to Beckham down the field. They didn't connect as much as they wanted to last
year.
But
they're trying.
They tried.
And maybe this is the week that this happens. But, you know, if they do go and try to, you know, bracket or double cover or whatever you want to call it, Odell, the other guys have to step up. And we keep saying that over and over and over. But
well, you have to run the ball, one or the other.
Well, I would probably go with the let's step up and catch the football first, in my opinion.
I agree with that.
Because I think that this is not the week that you decide that you're going to try to run the football for the best you ever have, because you're going against a defense that's number one in the NFL against the rush.
Yeah, by the way, that week was last week when you played the 30th-ranked rushing defense,
so
by the way.
I think we don't do that. But, you know, guys like Reuben Randall, guys like Hakeem Nicks, who's now in the system a couple more weeks. He's getting more familiar with the offense. And, you know, obviously we know he's familiar with Eli, so maybe there is a little chemistry there. And we'll tie, you know, get the tight end involved in that offense. I'm not worried about this offense. I'm worried about the defense. And I'm just
– tough matchup against two very good wide receivers,
it
by
really,
the way.
How many times, and I think if we went back, I think we were talking about this the other day. If you go back and look at the Giants matchups throughout the season, when have they played a team with two really good receivers? Decker could be a number one receiver on another team. There's no question about that. Brandon Marshall has had an unbelievable season. He just seems to be so much more focused than I've ever seen him before.
He's had some drops this year, though.
But, I mean, everybody has. But I think collectively, I think he's had a great year. So you have, but.
By the way, just to your point, receiving duos this year, okay. Marshall and Decker are third in targets in 202, fourth in catches in 120 with 122, fifth in yards in 1600, and tops in touchdown in 1700. So they are a top three or four tandem in the NFL this year. Go ahead.
And they are number one in the red zone offensively
and
number one in the red zone defensively. Do they have any other duos behind those numbers? Was like
you know what
the other team?
They don't list who. Here we go. No, they do not list who the other duos are.
I was thinking about this last night. I was talking to with my boys while we were watching the game, and I really couldn't.
Maybe you know what, Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree might actually be up there. Now that I think about
that's
it,
that's a. You know what? I bet they are. Yeah, because you turn around. I mean, Julio Jones and
now, do you think they can't tight end? If they count tight ends, Edelman and Gronkowski might be up there. I don't. It says
no.
Receiving duos, not
receiving,
wide receiver
yeah.
duos. So they might
know
count
with what
Gronkowski.
Happened with, yeah, I think these tight ends, they're not receivers. Remember that. But so I think matchup. That's we've talked a lot about that. I think we've. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be one of those classic games, and maybe it's going to go down to the last drive and who has the ball last. And you know, both these teams. Well, I'll tell you what, John. When you say the Giants have two of the best players on the field, I got to believe that the Giants have the better coach on the field too. So I think that
certainly more experience.
That's
coach.
What I mean.
Absolutely.
And I think that if it comes down to, and I know what people are going to say. Well, what about the four games we've lost in the last? I think, you know, really, when you talk about Coach Coughlin and his experience in close games, I would put my hat on that rack any day.
201-939-4513. There's one other number here that I had, and now I lost it. It was
typically,
the Jets.
You know, these things are usually about 10 pages.
About
16 the things that we get,
John,
we got a lot of this.
Here we go. Jets defense this year. I had it for a second. There, it was the first six games this year. The Jets' defense was much better than the final five. It's the number I was looking for before. Now I can't find it. But the Jets' defense has not been the same since about midway through the year. They just have struggled a little bit. Here we go. In the first five games, the Jets were only giving up 15 points a game. The last six games, they've given up 25 points per game.
Wow.
So that's a very, very big jump. Hopefully something the Giants can try to take advantage
and
of.
And look at that. Look at the turnover differential.
Yeah, plus five, first five games, minus 1 cent.
So, yeah.
Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings and Daily Fantasy Sports Destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings.com, Fantasy Sports, free to play. We'll have Jeff's picks a little bit later on in the show, but I want to get to your calls at 201-939-4513. I have some open lines, folks, if you want to call in and get in on the Jets and Giants talk right here on Giants.com. Big Ed in Maryland wants to bring the positivity. What's going on, Big Ed?
What's up, guys? Who knew I was the first to bat? Yay!
What's up?
Lead off. You're a lead-off batter, Big
How
Ed.
Doing today?
Doing well.
Doing well. John, that sounds low, man. Come on, man. You sound better than that.
I'm doing fantastic, Big Ed.
Way better than that. What's up, Feeks? How you doing, man?
Hey, man, happy Friday. I love Fridays. I get, you know, as the show goes, we get a little bit more pumped up. But to start off with Big Ed, we're already there. How about it?
Hey. Listen to me.
Guys, we're listening.
I don't know who's going to show up. I don't know who's going to show up out there. It's going to be up to them. And if you told me like that, told me before, the fellas hear this on Fridays, fellas, listen up. It's up to you. You win your last, you win your next, win this game, and you go to playoffs. Simple. Whoever wins this game is the king of New York, and they're going to the playoffs. It's just that simple. The question is, it's December time. It's the best time of the year, birthday in 2 weeks, hope to be there to the Carolina game. But tell you, it's I'm not kidding about those stats either. You can throw the stats out the window with this game.
All right.
They either show up or they don't show up. Run the ball and throw the ball, or you don't win the game. Defense, I feel like they're going to do their part anyway. As long as JT is playing and Kennard is playing, our linebacker core is pretty healthy. I think they got a shot pretty much shutting them down because Chris Ivey is an absolute monster. You're going to have to. You don't have to put eight in the box, but you just have to be fundamentally sound. What do y'all think of that?
Hey, Big Ed, I think you're right. Steve Spagnuolo said yesterday when Chris Ivory gets outside and, you know, little DBs are trying to tackle him, that usually doesn't go well for those cornerbacks and safeties. I think you're right. You're going to have to be disciplined. And I think you hit it on the head too, Big Ed. I think, and Jeff said it before, this is the game where you need Eli to play a big-time game. Now, there's a chance you're going to get four takeaways and you get a couple defensive touchdowns. Then maybe it's not that necessary.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to need a big game out of Eli Manning this week against a Jets defense that's banged up in the back end, but their front seven is still extremely strong.
I also think, you know, we talk about we need a big game from Eli. I need a big game from Ben McAdoo. I need him to come out and put a game plan together to beat this Jets team that, you know, running the football as much as we can, trying to get balance as much as we can, but really step up and get a game plan that these guys can go out there and execute and be confident with it, that they don't have to throw it out the window like they did last week against Washington.
And he talked about it, by the way. He said it's very important to get balance this week against the Jets.
You have to. And you know what? You can't even know that the run may not be there. You have to still commit to trying to do it.
Look at the Redskins. They only had 2.8 yards per carry.
That's what Pete was talking about earlier this week.
Yeah.
They got to run the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, you cannot. See, that was the thing about even the last game and even the Dallas game. No, not the Dallas game. It was another game we had. We just slowed the ran the ball, and they just threw it too much.
Well, we
like
throw
I
it
say,
a lot.
Though, Eli has got to call the game on the field. Got to let the quarterback be who he is. Because if he has to constantly come over and check this, check that, he cannot call audibles like you need to.
Well, Big Ed, Eli
going on all season. Got to call those audibles.
Eli is given a lot of freedom at the line of scrimmage to make those types of calls. And as Jeff mentioned, the one thing the Jets do is they bring that safety into the box and they put eight men there. And if Eli gets to the line of scrimmage, Big Ed, and he sees eight guys there, he's going to turn
what
some.
Time it is. Go on time, baby. Go keep. Odell is always open.
Thank you, Big Ed.
Big Ed makes it
the
really easy.
Thing about beating the Jets, punch him in the mouth. Yeah. No Rex Ryan, punch him right in the mouth, man. That's the same thing you do with the Eagles. Remember that. They're still Eagles. I don't care who's coaching or playing. Punch him in the mouth. You beat them.
Thank you,
that's
Big Ed.
Simple.
Take it easy, my friend.
I believe that last week, the Giants got punched in the mouth because physically, I don't think the Giants won that game in the physical battle, as Coach Coughlin would always say, win the physical battle. So first thing you have to do in football is win the physical battle. You really do. So this will be a tough game. Both these teams, you know, these teams don't hate each other, but they certainly don't like to play each other. You know what I'm saying? It's like guys, a lot of these guys do functions together off the field. They get along and this and that. But there really isn't anything that's like, you know, happens off the field where they could hate each other for it. I think it's just a matchup. It's a game on the schedule. They happen to be in the same city, same stadium. But when it all comes down to it, this game means more to the Giants or more to the Jets. We're going to find out.
And Todd Bowles, not exactly as vocal as Rex Ryan either. So you don't get quite as much juice.
He is the polar opposite
of
Rex. Yeah.
And I think Todd Bowles is going to be a good head coach, by the way. And I think he's figuring things some out as a rookie. I think he's going to be a good head coach.
And I also believe that his demeanor with the media is nothing like his demeanor inside the locker room or on the field.
Probably true. All right, why not? He's never this early in the show, but he's next up. He's been on the whole
Charlie's
longest.
Got somewhere to go.
It's Chuckles. What's going on, Charlie? How are you?
Hey, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
We're doing good, Charlie. How are you?
Hey, Seeks, I almost fell off my llama. Thank you. When you said that I would hang my hat on Coughlin coming, you know, with close games at the end of the.
I know,
you know,
but I prefaced
after
it first.
Lost four of them. I don't think so.
Listen, but I said I. And
why
did you hear what I said, though? I said most Giants fans are probably thinking, no, I prefaced it before I said it. So there you go.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Okay.
All right. I'll forgive you on
So
that
get
one.
Back on your llama. You get a llama up there in Maine. Is that what you do? Okay.
Sure.
What else
but,
you got,
you know,
Charlie?
What I got is this.
Too much.
Unless we change things up, we are going to have the same result. We've got to change. Players who aren't doing it need to sit. Other players have to be given a chance. We can't keep calling the same plays, keep having a four running back committee. We've got to change things. I mean, if Randall's not doing it, sit him. If Kuhn isn't doing it, sit him. If Newhouse isn't doing it, sit him. If Cunningham drops three passes, sit him. At least one game. Let some other guys who are hungry, who really want to play, who really want to win, like Coughlin says, you know, want to go that extra extended, like Knicks and, you know, Bromley and, you know, whoever else.
You've
got to change it up. We can't keep playing the people who are not getting it done. And I just don't understand why Coughlin doesn't see that and he doesn't make those changes. And hopefully he will this game, but I doubt it. But at least play calling wise, we've got. What happened to screen passes? I mean, where are they? I mean,
they're there, Charlie.
You know,
Charlie, one of the things you don't understand, first and foremost, is that there is only 53 guys on the roster. You want to replace everybody. We don't have 90 guys on there. The other thing is this team is extremely beat up. They are getting a little bit healthy, this and that. But I understand where you're coming from, but there's a time and a place for everything. Now, I wanted them to sit Randall last week. They did. But I don't, you know, he was back in there the next series. So the running back.
Well, that's not sitting him.
Well, they put him out for a series.
A
but
breath.
The running back, I mean, when you think about what they've been doing there, I mean, Vereen is your third down guy. Jennings is your first and second down and some third down guy. And they really, with Darko and Williams, they get their chance. But nobody has really stepped up in a point where they're going to – and they have not been able to get a runner that has been able to get the ball for 20-something times because they only run it 20-something times a game. So
that's true. But as you know, you need to get in a rhythm. It's just like, you know, you as a punter, bring in another punter every other series, every other punt. You know, you've got to stay in the game. You've got to be able to punt and get in the rhythm of the game. And then, you know, you're going to kick some really good punts. But if they've taken you out all the time, how is anyone supposed to get in a rhythm when they've got, like, five carries, six carries? It's ridiculous. They've got to say, look, Dakwa is playing this game, just like what the Patriots do. Belichick, Bella Liar, I call him. But anyway, he'll play one running back 1 week. He'll play the next one the next week because he sees the matchups. That's what we need to do. We need not to play them all in the same game. We need to say, okay, Dakwa, this is your week, and this is the reason why. Jennings, this is your week because this is the reason why. And, you know, the Vereen should be in there all the time anyway for third downs, whatever. But that's what they should do. And then you get some rhythm. Then you get some continuity. I don't see McAdoo calling anything, any play that just gets a rhythm going in the offense. And you know, sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot with penalties or whatever, too. And that's
or turnovers.
All.
Look at the first drive the Giants had last week.
And thanks for the call, Charlie. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Charlie. The Giants' first drive last week was very balanced. They were running it very well. They were throwing it very well. And then what happened? They shoot themselves in the foot, the turnover. And
same
then,
thing,
you know,
by the way, the first drive of the second half when they're moving the ball down the field.
There you go, too. I mean, so they do have some rhythm. It's just game plans go out the door when things don't work or you're down.
And I think if one running back showed them something, they would stick with
that. That was my point. There's not anybody that has done that yet. And,
right.
and Charlie, you know, if you did what you wanted to do, then talk about rhythm, then one of your running backs would not play every 3 weeks. For 2 weeks.
Charlie had Paul Dottino hang up on him on Tuesday. I'm surprised he's still not upset about that. Paul got very upset with Charlie. He was like, he wanted to, all the guys he wanted to bench, Paul got very upset.
Oh, well.
Well, you know, Paul.
We won't hang up on you, Charlie.
Well, we did.
You did. Well, oh, you guys were with them.
We have a lot of calls. We have to get to everybody.
Yeah, okay, I got you. Yeah. And speaking of the next calls, we got my man Jeff with the same name in New Hampshire.
All right, let's go to Jeff. What's up, pal?
Not much. How are you guys doing today?
Doing all right, Jeff. How are you?
Happy Friday, man.
Not bad. Yeah, thanks. I work Saturday, so it doesn't really mean much to me, but same to you.
All right.
Listen, I feel you, man.
Oh,
I feel
you. I noticed with this team, I think I know what we got to do to win the last five games or win the division.
All right.
It's not an X's or O's thing. We just got to be the underdogs, and we got to have everybody in the media talking about Fire Coughlin because he's too old, he's lost the locker room, whatever they've been saying for the last 10 years.
That usually works.
Every time our back is against the wall, that's when they come out winning. When we're the favorite, I'd say we were the favorites against Washington, coming off the bye, playing so good against the Patriots. I thought we were going to win that game. I didn't see any reason we wouldn't. We beat Washington five times in a row. So, of course, we lay an egg and lose the game. And now that, you know, people are probably going to be counting us out. You're going to start hearing the things about, oh, Coughlin needs to go. He's too old, this, that, and the other thing. Well, that's when the team usually ends up playing their best. So all we got to do to win the next five games is have every single caller call in and say Coughlin needs to be fired, Reese needs to be fired, have every beat writer start writing about firing Coughlin and getting rid of the players and blowing things up, blah, blah, blah. That seems to be when we turn around and end up winning the division for pretty much the last 10 years.
Well, Jeff, you would hope it doesn't have to get to that to to get the team to play a little bit better. And, you know, I guarantee you, if, you know, the Giants do happen to lose this weekend, I'm sure we'll see some of that next week on Monday and Tuesday. But you would hope this team, understanding how important this game is, especially given the fact that the Redskins have a home division game against a Tony Romo-less Cowboys team, that this is tantamount to a game that you kind of have to win here if you're the New York Giants. So I think the team understands that. I hope they understand it, and they are ready to go out there and try to win this game. Whether or not they do it, we'll see if they're the better team on Sunday. But they understand, much like they did last week, what good did it do them. I get that. But they understand the importance of this game.
And I believe the Giants are underdogs this game, too.
I believe they are, but small ones.
Small ones, but there you go, Jeff. So they're the underdogs in this game, and write them off. So that's when they do win, because you are correct. Even when I was on the team, there's times when we were favored and we were, you know, everybody was, you know, writing about us and how good we were. You turn around, we lose games. So that's a mentality I guess you have to have in the National Football League. So,
you got anything else for us, Jeff?
Nope, Jeff.
I guess not. Thank you very much for the call. 201-939-4513. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. Joe in Pennsylvania, he's up next. What's up, Joseph?
Hi, guys. There, another big game here coming up.
Every one of them are big now.
Yeah. You were talking about the cornerbacks matching up with their receivers. I sort of like that. At least they'll be with them. We don't have to worry about the tight end, I don't believe, as much this weekend, do we?
No.
With the Jets?
No.
And that's the one that really has been beating us, you know, besides last week there when that one Jackson got deep there. But we knew that could happen with his great speed. So.
But let me ask you a question. If you're the Jets.
Jeff Cumberland, by the way, they're starting tight end.
Okay, so Cumberland and who, there's one other.
Kellen Davis.
Okay, so you
Giants
got those two guys.
Last
if
year,
you're the Jets right. And you know how of a nemesis the tight end position is for the Giants defense, and you know that the Giants defense cannot get a pass rush, where the Jets use those tight ends for protection-wise, why wouldn't you put them out I'd put them out there in pass routes because the Giants have had trouble getting to the quarterback. So just watch what you say about that tight end position this week, Joe.
Well, I understand that part. Well, I'm just hoping, you know what I mean, that they just play the way they've been playing. Maybe they will. And the same thing with our offense now. I'm looking, you know, I think, you know, we got to come out and throw the ball too at first. And the main thing I would emphasize to the receivers, you definitely got to look the ball into your hands and make sure you catch it first, because that's what stopped our drives last week. You know, Eli's got to be on target too. I can remember that preseason game there. Kamari picked that one off on him, you know. So that's about it, you know, and hopefully the Giants can pull through this one. So
thank you, Jeff.
For taking my call.
Thank you, Joe. Sorry, excuse me. And, you know, I think this matchup with the Jets wide receivers is really one of the biggest ones in this game. And you like the fact you have Prince back. DRC, had to come out of the game last week for a couple plays, came back in with the ankle. He seems to be okay, which is great. That being said, it's not just a two-on-two game here.
No.
I mean, those corners can't be asked to follow the guys around the entire football field for the entire game. Your linebackers have to be disciplined in their zone. They have to get to the right depth. Your safeties have to provide proper help over the top, which they did not do at times last week against the Redskins.
They're going to have to this week.
And they're going to have to because these two guys are really good. Don't forget the Jets rookie wide receiver out of Ohio State, Devin Smith. He's had some drop seize issues, but he's got speed to go deep on you. Mm-hmm. You got to look out for him. Brandon Marshall lives in the middle of the field. He uses his size.
Toughness.
And he's a tough guy. And Decker is just a, you know, he's a very good wide receiver. Does a little bit of everything. So
discipline.
This is going to be a very, very big challenge for this Giants secondary, which has struggled at times this year. And, boy, can they get a little bit pass rush to help them?
That would be nice. You know, I will tell you this too, John, and I think you're going to agree with me, that if you cannot run the football, what is your option? Your other option is to throw, duh. But my point is that we may see a lot of this Shane Vereen, Jennings out of the backfield, 2-3-4 yard catches because, you know, you can't go from the 9-10-15-20 yard pass every time. So you're going to have to get some short stuff. So if you can't run the football against the number one team in the NFL against the rush, you put in some different wrinkles to try to get the ball to some of your players in the flats, little check down routes to get those 2 and 3 yards on first down because you don't want to get into third and longs again because you're out there throwing the football down the field and you can't run the ball.
Now, Jeff, it's funny you say that because I believe we had this identical conversation when the Giants took on the Buffalo Bills in week number 4.
Okay.
The Bills have a good defensive line.
Yeah, what were you saying and what happened
there? Go to the running backs out of the backfield, right? And I want to look at this, but I think I remember it properly. That game, Giants running backs were targeted 3 times at passes and they had 2 catches. The one was the big Rashad Jennings touchdown at the end
of
the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Shane Vereen wasn't even targeted with the pass.
Interesting.
And here's why.
Well.
And I was watching during the game for him because I remember we had an over-under question in our pregame show, and I had Vereen on an over, and I was really annoyed they were never passing him the ball. They had to leave him in to protect because the Bills brought so much pressure. And the Jets bring just as much, if not more, pressure than the Bills do. So I wonder if they're going to need the running backs to protect, and they're not going to be able to use him in the passing game like what happened against Buffalo.
Well, and I think I think it's a great I think it's what you bring up is pertinent because when you look at this Jets defense now, this is Rex's defense, you know, to a point. I mean, he's one year out. But and you look at the Buffalo defense, that's Rex's defense. So it would seem to me that you're right, that that's probably what they're going to do.
Though Todd Bowles has made a lot of changes
on
the defense
changes.
Out of the ball. But look, they're still a 3-4 defense. They mix up their looks, and they don't have a great edge pass rusher. So if they're going to bring – they bring pressure a lot, and
yeah.
You're going to have to protect against it. I was really nervous for this guy because Leonard Maryland called last Friday. He was very confident. He was feeling really good about the game, and I didn't hear from him Monday. I didn't hear from him on Tuesday. I don't know if he called Wednesday or Thursday. I just assume since I'm not on, he's not calling because I feel like we have that type of relationship. I hope he's doing okay.
He has surfaced.
I hope you're on your porch. I hope you're relaxing. You have, like, the furry slippers on, and you're kind of in a zen moment right now, Len. What do you have?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're doing well, Len.
Good. Thanks for the introduction, John.
No problem.
Well, we're glad to see you're okay.
Yeah.
According to John.
Yeah, doing fine. And as usual, looking forward to a home game on Sunday.
Of course.
I'm quietly optimistic, and I am glad the game's a home game. You know, we can talk about, you know, 5 games left and the Miami game and the Minnesota game. Wow, you just can't underestimate, in my opinion, John and Jeff, you just can't underestimate when you look at it in totality the importance of this game on Sunday.
Nope.
I mean, you got to look past a season. You got to look into the future. You just can't underestimate. You look who the opponent is. You know, we don't want to wind up 6-10 and say, oh, and by the way, we lost to the Jets at home.
And by the way, you don't want to say in back-to-back weeks you lost to the Redskins and the Jets, and all of a sudden,
three-game losing streak.
Exactly.
Late in the season, I mean, we can't have that. It's just. To me, yeah, you know, we win this game, the weather forecast gets better in January. we lose this game and start looking at this, whether the tsunami is coming through Quest Center. It's just, to me, it's just that big.
Yeah.
It's not just another game. I mean, you're talking a lot of things here. But listen, I think we can win this game.
Sure.
And again, I'm optimistic. I you know, you talked about their receivers, terrific receivers. But listen, Cromartie and Amagamara.
Yeah.
These are players. You know, if Prince wants to be considered elite or the edge of elite as a cornerback, and not just the guy who gets injured one out of every three games, this is it. Make a play.
No, you're right.
I'm down with the play. These are the guys either looking for big money or making big money. When you get to a big game like this one, again, huge, just not just in the context of this season, huge. These are the guys you count on. Jeff, one other point, you know, your comment about the running backs catching the ball. I really thought up to this point we would have more catches out of the backfield. Now, it may be that only Jennings and Vereen have catches. I think Williams has one. They're the only ones that have catches. But I really thought by the time the season was over,
yeah,
that we'd have like 95, close to 100 receptions by the running back.
By the way, just for the record, Vereen, 40 catches, 340 yards right now. Rashad Jennings, 21 for 188. So that's 61 catches between the two of them. And Andre Williams has one catch. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So you're up to 62 through 10 games, you know, six a game, five to go, 30, maybe 30 more catches.
Yeah, you'll get to 80.
You know, keep using them. I think we got to get the ball to those running backs. I mean, it's why we got Shane Vereen. Let's, you know, feed the beast. And big guys make big plays in big moments. This is a big moment. Can't wait for Sunday. It's going to be a good one.
It's going to
be
a nice
beautiful day.
I
understand.
57
and
degrees.
I'm going to need that because I'm nursing a cold, as you guys are probably
figuring out.
December
6th.
Hey,
nothing's keeping me away from this game.
And, Len, bottom line is this, and I'm going to parrot you. I can't believe you didn't bring it up at some point during this call, and if I'm stealing your thunder, I apologize. In the end, it's Eli Manning going up against Ryan Fitzpatrick, and the Giants have to win that matchup in a big way if they want to come down
way.
With the win.
Good point. Good point, John. Hey, listen, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome,
and,
as always.
I'll see you guys on Sunday, and we'll talk next week.
Safe travels.
Let's go, Giants.
You got
let's
it.
Thank you. And I'm not trying to minimize Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's an NFL quarterback.
I mean,
he started for a lot of teams. But given the Jets' strengths and weaknesses on defense, to me, this has to be a big Eli Manning game if you want to win this contest.
Yep, and you know, it doesn't
have
to
protect
be
the ball, too, by the way.
And listen, and we say, well, what is a big Eli Manning game? I mean, it doesn't mean throw for 450 yards.
No,
It means that, you know, he needs to be good. He needs to convert. He needs to make decisions that are based on not calculated risk.
If Eli's 20 of 27 for 265 yards, two touchdowns and no picks.
Fine.
Perfect.
Fine.
Perfect.
Fine. And, you know, the thing about this is that the Giants, they're going to have to do something pretty creative in that red zone, because this team is good in the red zone, the defense for the Jets. And the Giants are you know, a lot of times they get down there and it just seems that we're all scratching our head like, what's going on? They got to put some points on the board. They really do. They
best
really
in the league
do.
The Jets offensively and defensively.
No
and it
question.
Really shows you the dichotomy here. The Jets, I think, offensively have the two things that the Giants have struggled with. The Jets can run the ball with power against big fronts.
I think that's the number one.
And that's why I listed it first. Absolutely number one. And then number two, they have a big wide receiver in Brandon Marshall that will beat nearly every cornerback to the ball in this league 9 out of 10 times.
And
that's his – he might be the best in football at doing that.
And
that's how good he is.
And don't forget about Decker, too.
Yeah, he is, I think it's what, 9 touchdowns and 8 touchdowns apiece for those two guys?
And if I just knew his number, because I'm not a big, you know.
I've Decker's 87.
87, thank you, John. 6'3". So, you know,
yeah,
he's 6'3", so he's two big guys down there, which, and we've seen him make enough plays in the end zone Going over. And our corners are not small guys. I mean,
no.
DRC's a
and
tall dude.
Play the
Prince
ball
is
well.
A big guy. So I think that, you know, you look at what what Brandon Marshall has done last week against Grimes. The guy's 5'9", he's 6'5", 6'4". That's a mismatch. And he just basically ate his lunch that day.
Yeah, 9 touchdowns for Marshall, 8 for Decker. I had that right. So, I mean, they're just really good. They're really, really good.
17 touchdowns out of those two guys. That'll put you number one in the NFL in the red zone.
All right, everybody, 201-939-4513. I got three people on the line. We're going to get to all three of you. Then we're going to say goodbye. But first, Jeff, let's go through your picks. Fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination at DraftKings. You can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com. Enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings. Fantasy sports free to play. Here are Jeff Fiegel's picks.
Woo!
By the way, you had a nice little week last week. You had Jarvis Landry, who was really good. Carson Palmer was okay, and Chris Ivory was good as well. So you had a good week last week.
We're going to have another good week this week. I think the week before that I did decent.
You did? No, you're actually on a
so
pretty good
run. We're coming
run.
Back here.
You're starting to figure this whole fantasy football thing
out.
Oh,
yeah.
A
well,
bit.
It's not that difficult. Come on, seriously. But I will tell you this. My first one, McQB, is going to cost you $6,400. And it's a quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals, Andy Dalton. They've been on a hot streak all year with them playing a divisional game against the Browns. We've seen the Browns, John. The Browns are bad. Okay. And
Austin Davis, by the way,
oh
getting
my goodness.
The start for the Cleveland Browns.
The Browns are giving up an average of 260 yards to an opposing quarterback. So Andy Dalton, my guy this week on the QB. Running back, this guy's had a nice year. A lot of times this happens when you're in a contract year. That would be Doug Martin.
He's going to cost a pretty penny, I bet.
Oh,
right?
My goodness. And their eyes on the wild card spot, too. With that being said, they've gone through a divisional opponent to continue that dream. And Martin plays the Falcons this week. Give up the second most touchdowns to opposing running backs.
I like that matchup.
So there you go. He's going to cost you $5,900. Projected to score 16 points for a running back. That's pretty good. And wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey.
Ooh, like
coming off
too.
An injury, but I'm still taking a chance on him this week, so he would be my sleeper, I guess.
Well, he played last Thanksgiving, and he played well.
He's good, man. I tell you, he's like Brandon Marshall.
And he's also on a contract year, I too think, by the way.
There you go. Jeffrey's playing against a struggling 49er defense. Who gives up the most receptions to an opposing wide receiver.
Well, look at all this research you've done, Jeff. I'm very impressed.
Unbelievable. So the DraftKings being a PPR league, how about that one? You haven't heard me say that all year. I'm spending my money on Jeffrey. He's listed at $6,900. That is my DraftKings lineup for the week. Once again, Dalton, Martin, and Jeffrey. And to draft your own lineup, go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today.
DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. 3 callers, 9 minutes. Let's do it. Ken, New Jersey. What's up, Ken?
Hi, Kenny.
Hi, fellas. Happy Friday to you.
You too,
you too, man.
I feel like Eli doesn't get enough credit. I just want to speak to his mental and physical toughness. And I think he's really going to shine this week. Last week, he got his throwing hand stepped on in the first quarter by a 300-pound lineman 3 days after Thanksgiving. You know, and he came out firing. You know, like
we get
as
that.
Giant fans, I feel like we're spoiled. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Eli does not
yes.
get out. He gets in the game no matter what. I wouldn't have any other quarterback, not even Tom Brady. And I feel like even Giants fans don't give him enough credit. So. I think Eli shines this week, and I think we win 27-21, Giants.
Very nice.
Go Giants.
I can't.
I don't think you could have said it any better. I really don't. I mean, spoiled is the word that I use with Eli Manning.
The same way we were with our punter for a few years there in the 2000s.
You know what? You don't. There's always a saying. You don't know how good it is until it's gone.
Absolutely.
I won't say anything else about Eli.
And you know what? This is what, quite frankly, I don't want to pigeonhole New York sports fans. But New York sports fans have the tendency to pile on their best players. No, they really do.
And that's why they say it's tough to play here.
Now, some guys were somewhat immune to that. Derek Jeter never really got piled on.
No.
You know, he had so many titles, and he was good for a long time. He, you know, got a little worse towards the end. That happens to everybody. But look at what Nick Fans did to Patrick Ewing. I realize he never won a championship, but they were all over him.
I wasn't here, but, I mean, I can imagine.
He was only reason the Knicks were any good for 15 years, and Knicks fans couldn't wait to get rid of him when his career is over. And, by the way, they've been to the playoffs 3 times in the 15 years since he's been gone. And, you just see it. The fans like to go after the best players in the team sometimes. And Trust me, when Eli's gone, everyone's going to be like, oh.
And you could just ask these other fans of these teams that don't have that just a carousel of quarterbacks.
Well, go ask the Eagles. Go ask the Cowboys. Go ask every other team in the NFC East.
Ask the Jets. They're going to be here this week. Ask them.
They've had three different quarterbacks in the last four years now.
So, and he is, he's a tough dude. He doesn't like let you know that, but he's tough. I mean, anytime a quarterback plays that many straight games, it's in the 170-something, I believe. But
I mean, look at the beating he took in that championship against the 49ers. He got smacked around last week against the Redskins, kept getting up.
But like you said, he's got his hand stepped on, his throwing hand. That can't feel good.
No, you wouldn't think. You wouldn't think. You know? And it's a grass field, by the way, so you have legit cleats out there, too. It's not
good
like
thing
you got
it was gushy, though. As our man Paul Dottino reported on our pregame show last week, that the field is kind of gushy, guys.
I've tried to figure out what gushy means the last 5 or 6 days. I still haven't figured it out. John in Nashville. What's going on, Johnny? How are you, pal?
I'm doing well. Just want to say first-time caller.
Well, thanks for calling.
Love the show.
Thank you.
Well, welcome aboard.
The show. Thank you. I wanted to touch a couple of things, and, you know, first of all, the running backs. I was kind of taking a look at you know, how many carries each running back gets in a game. And I think an earlier caller had called and talked about how the rhythm of the game and how, you know, things are. Giants are the only team that I know that predominantly use four running backs, okay? So if you're in there for – you have four plays. If you don't make the first down, you get to have to kick the ball.
Right.
If you run the first ball first time, you know, you get a couple of yards or what's or whatever. Most of the time, the Giants are either throwing the second on second down or third down. So it's not a lot of time that's going where the running backs are getting the rhythm or even getting enough chances to show that they can do what they can do. Even Andre Williams, Orleans Dark, Jennings. Even Jennings probably gets more carries than anybody else, and we know what Vereen does. But when you look at the other two, there's not enough time and enough plays that they can get going and say that. I know earlier you were spoken about how you know, they're not doing anything. Well, you can't do anything if you only have two carries a game. Andre had two. Orleans only had two carries the whole game. And I remember there was one that Orleans broke off a pretty good run, but it was called back on the flag of some sort.
It was a hold,
yeah.
I believe.
So if you're running four running backs, there's no possible way to show that, hey, this running back can do this or this running back can do that, where you can go in and say, well, this week we're going to lean on you or lean on that. And if you notice the offense is more of a passing offense. We cannot deny that. It's a passing offense. I personally know, like, Orleans Darkwood is one of those players that can actually catch the ball out of the backfield. If you look at his college stats from his freshman year, sophomore year, he caught the ball a lot.
No, you're right.
And so sometimes a lot of these, you know, and I don't know if it's what these coaches are seeing, because I don't think that an undrafted player who – most undrafted players don't make it, and it has made it in 2 years in a row. And so he has to be able to have that ability to run the ball plus catch the ball, but it's not being utilized that way. And so sometimes, it's, you know, I feel like the running backs are kind of set to fail. Unfortunately, they're all really good running backs, and you can't really just lose any of them. That's why they ended up keeping all four. But it's not enough plays in the game for them to have. And I also want to give my hats out to the defense. This defense has struggled most of the time this year. And honestly, I've always been a Giants fan. This year, I took pretty much good interest in it because I'm from Nashville. Only Darko's from Nashville. You know, we support him big time over here. But just watching the defense, I feel like with all the bodies that have been falling down, you know, I feel like we've held up. You know, we've kept them in the game, and especially the Patriots game. I think that was a great game that they played. So I just want to tell you guys, I listen to you every day while I'm on the road working. I think you guys are great. You know, so just want to give my hats off to you guys.
Well, thank you for listening, John. Yeah. Guys like you out of town, the reason we do the show, we're happy we can entertain you.
We appreciate
it. You know, the running back situation's tough, Jeff, and I think it is hard to, you know, get four guys enough work to get the most out of them. Do you think they're just waiting for somebody to seize it, and it just hasn't happened yet?
I
what are your thoughts?
I do a little bit, but I also believe that if they had the ability to have a running game where they could hand the ball off three times in a row,
They don't get enough yards to do that, though, and that's the problem.
My point is that if they did have that,
right.
I think that you would probably see that guy.
I agree with you.
So, but they don't. And so,
they're always moving guys in with personnel packages and things like that.
And so I think it comes a couple things. I think one, I think it comes from a little bit of philosophy offensively. Two is the health of your offensive line and your running backs, too, sometimes. But I really believe it comes in that fashion. If you had a running game that you could depend on and had confidence in it, that you would be able to run the ball on first and second down with success, you would see Jennings in there for 22, 23 carries, and maybe the second guy for 7, 8. And you would become that balanced offense where you're throwing the football 30 times and running the football 30 times, somewhere around in there. You know, you got 60 and 70 plays. That, to me, is why I think is why you're seeing the rotation. You just don't have the running game to have one guy in there with that type of rhythm. And he brought up a good point. You don't get any rhythm with one or two plays. You don't. And nobody can. I mean, and Charlie made a good point, too, this fact that if there
don't ever say that. We don't want him thinking
he's making
good points.
No, I'm
going
to tell him that he did.
Now,
it had nothing to do with that. It was only for punting. I would have hated if they alternated me one guy in and one guy out. I mean, that would have just – it would have had to take another
Or they
could have
had you as, like, maybe you only try to do the
coffin corner.
Or, like, the ones
–
like, if they're punting at, like, 50 and in, maybe, and then the other guy would do everything for long distance.
Sure.
Yeah, that would be annoying.
It would be annoying. And plus, it would be annoying to have the other guy in camp in practice with me every day. The other punter.
Well, you already hang out with the place kicker and the long snapper.
Yeah, but they have their own job, and I don't want some of their guy in camp with me doing my job. When I mean that would really. Plus, it would never happen because you can only the roster spot. So it's a mute point. It would never happen.
All right, final caller.
Thanks for bringing it up, Charlie. What a dumb point.
You already have him annoyed now. I wish you were annoyed all show. You're more fun that way. Phil in North Carolina. Phil, what's going on? You're gonna wrap us up today. How are you?
Yes. Hi. I want to talk about game management and clock management. And when I talk about specifically clock management, not only on the type of plays and so forth, but specifically delay of games.
Okay.
The last 2 years, we've had way too many delay of games that have come at critical times. What we need to have, and I'm hoping somebody in that room and Coughlin is listening, we need to have a coach just focused on delay a game and have and be able to call a timeout before we get that delay game. Because this last sequence, if you recall, we had a third and short, and
yep.
We became third and eight, and we had to drill it to Green, and he didn't catch the ball because he was worried about getting the first down because he was short. And that all could be – if we didn't have that delay game, we wouldn't have had that interception.
Well, Phil, I will say this.
Too much, it's happened way too much for and we're giving games away. So we need to have a coach looking for a delay game and call the timeout. So I've seen in other teams, so we don't get that extra 5 yards.
Well, Phil, for one, I can tell you Tom Coughlin agrees with you. He believes there are one delay of game penalty is too much for him. Nothing drives Coach Coughlin more nuts than pre-snap penalties. Trust me. He hates it. He knows it's a problem. Now, in terms of having the coach dedicated towards calling the timeout, I think you have to be careful with that. One, I think the quarterback has to be aware of the situation. They get Eli in that muddle huddle and out of the huddle quick enough for him to get the playoff most of the time.
So he doesn't have to make that.
And he has to be aware of that. And number two, depending on the situation. Now, I'm not saying this is most of the time, but I do think it's some of the time. I think some of the time,
it's okay.
You would rather take the 5 yards than burn a timeout.
And that's what
depending
I meant
by, okay. on the situation of the game you're in. So I don't think you can call a timeout every time. But look, it happens too much, Jeff. I think Tom Coughlin talks about it all the time. I'm not speaking that turn here, and they have to improve at that.
And you got to look at how is it happening. So
and why is it happening?
And why is it happening? And it's not always the quarterback. A lot of times, a play gets in late. The play that's called is not in the right. They're not in the right defense for it, and so he has to check out of it. So it all starts. It's a trickle down effect.
Right.
If it comes in late, so you get my point. It's not just one person. But the quarterback is the end result. He has to pay more attention to the clock. And Eli gets distracted sometimes by changing the play. And he's just, he's got a lot of stuff. He's making protection calls. He's calling out coverage. He's doing the play.
And Tom Coughlin's watching the play clock.
There's
knows
no
what's
question.
Going down. Trust me.
Well, he needs to, guys, I don't disagree with what you said. But he needs to call the timeout then.
And he
I mean,
will.
In that first half, there was no excuse for him not interceding and calling a timeout at that time. I understand, you know, there should be general parameters of, okay, in these situations, it's better to have the delay. In those rare situations,
right,
it's better to have the delay. But in the case on, I'm using this, and I'm harping on this, from that other day, he needs to call a timeout when he sees 2 seconds.
I buy that.
Yep.
That's fair. Appreciate the
okay,
call,
so
Phil.
Please, somebody listen. Somebody in the office there, listen to that. I don't want to see it delay a game this weekend.
Well, thank you, Phil. I appreciate it. Well, I think more importantly, though, you don't want to get to the point where you have to call a timeout there.
Well,
yeah,
you
if you
have
to, you do it. That's great. But you shouldn't. The way, especially at the speed and the pace of this offense, with how quickly they get to the line, they don't huddle anymore. You shouldn't get down to that.
You should not. And again, I think a lot of it is cause and effect.
And again, I'm not trying to put the blame on Eli. You're right. It's personnel changes. It's getting the play call in maybe a second late. Eli having to make changes. All those things come together. And if too many of those factors happen on the same play, that's when you run into the issue.
And when you say personnel changes, you know, those coaches play little games on the field now because the defense is waiting for the offense to come in and their personnel. And if you notice, then the defense sends their personnel in. So there's a little gamesmanship played back and forth with that clock running sometimes, and it just doesn't work out all the time. But it's just, and again, it comes down to the quarterback having to be aware of that clock, and it's big enough. It's right there. You see it. It's flashing, you know.
All right, Jeff, good show.
Awesome. Yeah, good luck to everybody this weekend. Going to the game. Go
and,
Giants.
And the pregame show is on Sunday at 11:30. WFAN. Check it out.
Or
from
the
MetLife Central. Me, Jeff, Lance, Datina will have it for you. Check it out. It's a great game. Jets and Giants, bragging rights at stake, but more importantly, potentially a trip to the postseason.
Sure.
For Jeff Figos, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you over the weekend on Giants.com. Everybody have a great one.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got it on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.